on the surface, on the road, when everything's well, you don't notice all the stuff underneath of it. But when one of those pipes breaks and the water shoots up in the freezing winter and freezes up all the cars in the neighborhood, you know something's wrong.
Well, hey, gang, I'm Bill Sheridan. Welcome to the legislation and regulation edition of Future Proof. And I know what you're saying. Yeah, Bill, you idiot, what does legislation and regulation have to do with the future of our profession? And the answer is pretty much everything. I mean, look, new technologies, demographic shifts, disruptions of all shapes and sizes, they're coming at us faster than ever. And a lot of these things are going to dictate how we work going forward. And if you don't think lawmakers and regulators are going to want to have a say in how these new things are governed, you're crazy. I mean, it's happening as we speak. Not long ago, if you remember, a pedestrian in Arizona was killed, struck and killed by a driverless Uber car. That was the first fatality of its kind since driverless cars hit the road. Now, that's tragic, no doubt, and lawmakers are going to want to know what happened and whether these autonomous vehicles are going to need to be regulated, which may impact how quickly these types of vehicles go mainstream. And in the meantime, nearly 6,000 pedestrians were struck and killed in 2016 by vehicles driven by humans. So sometimes you wonder where most of our legislative efforts and time should be spent and what impact that's going to have on our future. Just food for thought. So yes, legislation and regulation play a huge role in the future of our profession. And that's one reason why associations like ours, the Maryland Association of CPAs, spend so much time and effort watching what's going on the legislative front. What lawmakers could do, or rather what lawmakers do, could have huge implications for tomorrow's accounting and finance professionals. Which brings me to my guest today. It's Tom Hood, the CEO of the Maryland Association of CPAs and the Business Learning Institute, and in the interest of full disclosure, my boss. Tom is catching his breath after another busy legislative season. Maryland's General Assembly is in session from January to April each year, which means our legislative team and volunteers are in session at the same time. So what they're doing is they're monitoring new bills, fighting for reasoned legislation that benefits all Marylanders. And yes, I realize this podcast has a heavy Maryland slant, but the fact is this type of conversation should be happening in every state in the nation, because a lot of the issues that were raised in Maryland this year have implications that reach far beyond Maryland's borders. So if you don't live in Maryland, folks, pay attention anyway, because this stuff impacts everyone in our profession. You know, I think Daniel Burris, the world-renowned futurist who was my first guest on this podcast, he called it, right? He said increasing government regulation and legislation is a hard trend. It's a future fact that will happen whether we like it or not. Now, our opportunity is to play an active role and try to educate legislators and regulators so that they'll enact sound legislation. So anyway, all of that being considered, I had a chance recently to catch up with Tom and talk about what's happening on the legislative front. Here's what he had to say. So Tom, we've been saying for a while now that increasing government regulation and legislation is a hard trend, future fact, in other words, that we're going to continue to see more laws and regs and more impactful laws and regulations impacting the profession going forward. Did you see evidence of that in Annapolis this year?
In spades. We hit 3,118 pieces of legislation, which in fact, according to a reporter, was the most in 30 years.
Wow. We saw that last year too. The
year over year,
producing stuff seems to be increasing.
Yeah, you know, at one point we were trying to prove Dan Burris wrong, and I said, there's no way it's coming up every year, given Governor Hogan, who has an initiative to reduce regulation, even the Trump administration from that standpoint. And yet, the fact is they do increase. And when you think about it, it makes sense. It's all these new things, social issues, political issues, all those things generate that kind of thing. And the complexity in the world, right, from global regulations to things right here in our backyard in Maryland.
Yeah, and things got a little weird there in Annapolis for a while this year, didn't they? And I'm thinking specifically, and you probably know what I'm going to say. One issue in particular relating to health savings accounts. So, explain this issue from the top, because in my mind, it's just such a perfect example of unintended consequences from bad laws.
Yeah, I think in my career here, 21 years at the association, I never thought that CPAs would be weighing in on male sterilization. But in fact, we did do that this year. So apparently 2 years ago, the legislature came up with this idea to make male sterilization a preventative care procedure, which therefore made it more deductible in many cases for folks who needed it. And in the zeal to do that, they passed it, and apparently no one checked ERISA law or the Affordable Care Act at the federal level. And so this bill that we passed in Maryland violated the deductibility under the Treasury IRS code. So that meant that we now nullified or made illegal and therefore stopped the deductibility for some 380,000 health savings accounts and high deductible health plans in the state of Maryland. When in the testimony, this is what really, I think, puts the exclamation point on your comment, is in the testimony, they basically, the Maryland health secretary said, there's about 300 people who've taken advantage of this new law at the expense of 380,000 health plans, which could be about a million people or more in the state of Maryland.
That's absolutely insane. So how did... I know we were kind of working with legislators to help them understand what was going on, and how did that all come out? They enacted some emergency legislation. Is that correct? Or?
Yeah. So this it gets better. So first of all, I have to say kudos to our state tax folks on our listserv. This surfaced right at year end. I know you were involved with us as we were putting communications out before end of the year. Some of the folks on our tax listserv were getting questions from clients about deducting healthcare expenses, and they somehow figured out, wow, this has now become illegal. And so they blew up our listserv with, what can we do? And so we immediately mobilized. So what we do is we say, where does this happen? We found out one of the sponsors of the original bill, and we reached out to the insurance community and the insurance associations, the health insurance groups, and began to say, do you know about this issue? And certainly once they looked into it, they're like, oh my God. And suddenly everyone is like going crazy over this bill. The legislators were very open to listening and wanting to fix it. And the first cut at fixing it was to reverse the bill, right? Make it back the way it was. And or say, we're allowing for this, but we need to do this to make it deductible. Well, in that process, they found out that now by doing that, because it impacts health plans, which are governed under ERISA, the Employment Retirement Income Security Act, another federal law. So just imagine right now, you've got the Affordable Care Act, you've got the IRS Treasury rules, you've got the ERISA Act, and then you've got Maryland law, and they're all in like conflict. So the fact is, again, well-meaning, the ERISA law says you can't retroactively change a health plan.
Oh, man.
Because they're thinking like some evil employer would want to take back benefits and therefore amend the plan in the middle of a year. So that's illegal. So we couldn't fix the law the way they thought. So the insurance groups are there. So then the health secretary of Maryland had to reach out to the IRS commissioner and say, could you give us a ruling to at least tie this over, because there's no way we could make this retroactive, which was a problem, because now we're into February and people have health expenses that they now can't deduct.
Right.
In fact, one of our members, his wife had some significant illness and she couldn't pay for her medicine. That's horrible.
Yeah.
So anyhow, I mean, the good news is that all these points of work, including working with the insurance industry, the banking industry, we finally got everyone on the same page. We got a bill done that will make it deductible going forward. And we got the Maryland Health Secretary, who got an IRS ruling to allow it deductible retroactively to January 1st. So we put everything back together. Humpty Dumpty came back together and all is good.
That is just insane. All right.
And CPA so, saved the day again, Bill. It's like the CPA saved the world. Here we go.
Well, that's, you know, it's a great example of the power of that advocacy network and the idea that CPAs understand this stuff and can provide background and analysis and some advice for legislators as they're trying to enact this, which was sorely missing the first time around, obviously.
but the thing that was interesting from that, this whole experience for me was the people that were asleep were clearly the insurance industry when the bill got done the first time. Mm-hmm. We don't and can't monitor every bill related to healthcare or medicine or all these things that are going on. And, you know, you count on the industry group to be catching that in the moment. Now, maybe we have to have a CPA on their committee so that they're watching the right thing, but that was an anomaly that we just weren't prepared for. And I don't know that we could be prepared in an anticipatory way on a going forward basis. But The good news is we have enough relationships and experience that we could react quickly and help Marylanders.
So real quick, let's just run down the list of some of the things that we were watching this year and how all that shook out. What were some of the real impactful pieces of legislation that came out for the profession this year?
Well, there was another really good one, Bill, about us CPAs and sewers. So not only did we have male sterilization, we had to weigh in on sewers. There was a bill, sewers are important to the public interest, and there was a bill that would say if a individual homeowner did not want to share their income taxes with the state of Maryland to get their sewer permits, they wanted a CPA to attest as to their income, which is against our professional standards. So we had to politely tell the legislator, while that sounds good in theory, there's a whole lot of issues there, including malpractice risk and all kinds of things that could hit the CPA. And we just simply can't do that. So we can't allow you to put that in without fighting it. And they ultimately carved that out. There was a bunch of those kinds of bills this year that were also unexpected from that standpoint. But let me run down the big list because those are the two fun ones that get people to go, wow.
It's nice to know they're at least thinking about us, though.
Yeah, exactly. So sales tax on services, no bill introduced. That's an evergreen thing for us. Stopping comparative fault. Interesting enough, there was a comparative fault bill, Senate Bill 465, that was dealing with automobile fault, but it was a camel's nose under the tent idea that once they get in there from the trial lawyer standpoint, it spreads. So we're going to have to watch that carefully. It's going to come up, I'm sure, big time next year and could be directly impacting us. But we did kill that bill in committee. There was, we expected the non-compete, non-disclosure issue where the state of Maryland is trying to nullify those. Don't ask me why. I mean, there is some legitimate reasons, but it certainly shouldn't affect CPAs. Those bills did not come through, so we didn't have to work on those. The other one that hurt is the Healthy Working Families Act, a mandatory sick leave bill. We didn't want to kill it. It passed last year. It was vetoed by the governor in the first day of session, and then the veto was subsequently overridden. And what was interesting, so it was going to take effect on February 15th, in the middle of crazy season for CPAs, but also for lots of small businesses who were completely unaware. And all we wanted to do was delay it. We said, can't we push it back to like July and give you time to communicate and businesses time to implement the systems? And I'll never forget, in front of the hearing, and I believe it was Economic Matters, you know, the delegates and the chair said, you guys should have known this was coming. Like, didn't you know that the bill passed? Well, yeah, but it got vetoed. Well, didn't you know it was going to get overridden? And you should have been planning for it to be implemented as the minute it got overridden. Mm-hmm. So they're basically saying we need to watch every bill.
Yeah.
And even if they're vetoed, we should plan on implementing them.
Right. Right.
Or make that right. And this is talking about significant compliance issues. In fact, we, the Maryland Association of CPAs, we have 32 people, and it's a significant compliance issue that we have to enact. And we're already in the middle of doing all that. But we wanted to delay it, and they said no. That was another kind of interesting one. There was one that would have required CPA, overtime pay. This is a big one. Mm-hmm. The legislation was trying to reenact the defeated federal Department of Labor overtime requirement that would have doubled the wages eligible for overtime, thus doubling the cost. Mm-hmm. And our legislators put it in. We defeated that in committee. That was a big one. CPA license verification. There was a bill to make all licenses under the DLLR. If you wanted to get proof of your license, you had to go down with your paper license and get it notarized and certified at the DLLR, mm-hmm. which is insane. And so we said, we're not going to have our CPAs doing that. Turned out it was because of something going on in the engineering trades and ultimately carried over to everybody. So unintended consequences again. Mm-hmm. And we got that one defeated. There is a exemptions from taxpayer registration. This is for tax preparer registration, in fact. And we were okay with how they worded that. So it doesn't affect CPAs. It only affects registered tax preparers. And we were okay with how they worded that. So there was a whole lot of tax work that was going on. Ultimately, they did pass a small business tax credit for employers with 15 or fewer employees to lessen the impact of the Maryland Healthy Working Families Act. Mm-hmm. And they did pass an increase in standard deductions for Marylanders next year to help offset a little tiny bit of the Tax Cut and Jobs Act of 2017. What they didn't get done, and our state tax committee spent a ton of time on, was they didn't get to passing like itemized deductions in Maryland to make up for the lack of state and local deductions that we lose at the federal level. And Maryland, according to Moody's, was one of the most significant impacted in the nation, even bigger than California or New York or Vermont that everybody thought, because of the numbers of people in Maryland that rely on and take state and local tax deductions, you know, your property tax and your state income tax, which both are fairly high in Maryland relative to other states.
Interesting. Yeah. And going back to that mandatory paid sick leave issue, real briefly, I saw an article just recently, I think it was in National Law Review, that was talking about this push to legislate this kind of stuff at a state level, which is increasing across the country, and the impact that that's having on multi-state employers who have offices in a whole bunch of different states who now have to figure out how they're going to comply with this type of stuff on a state-by-state-by-state basis, which adds even another layer of complexity to the whole thing.
Bill, you're exactly right. And in fact, that's probably the biggest positive impact that we have as CPAs, is that we're able to look at this legislation fairly quickly and say, this is going to be a compliance nightmare. So the cost of compliance, in fact, I just saw something from the International Federation of Accountants that said the cost of complying with regulations, now this is mainly in the financial arena, but you can extrapolate to all business, is like $780 billion a year across the world. Now, imagine if that money was being put back into the economies, paying jobs, and doing things that we really need, versus people moving paper and complying with things that don't add any value. In fact, they may protect some certain classes of groups, but it should be done in a way that's the minimal amount of compliance, not extra.
Right.
And that's what these individual laws by state, and now we're seeing it by county and city as well, Bill. I mean, they enacted stuff in Montgomery County that's even different from what the state is. So imagine if you work in three counties, you have to do three separate legal compliance things.
This is why this is a hard trend, right?
That's exactly why, yes.
So I guess it kind of struck me, advocacy isn't just the MACPA's responsibility, though. I mean, it seems like we get a whole lot more done when actual CPAs, accounting and finance professionals, get involved in the process, when it's not just you heading down to Annapolis to make these arguments. So how can they do that? How can accounting and finance pros do that in a way that won't require them to give up huge chunks of time during tax season?
It's actually, we try to make it really easy, and that's why we've actually gotten really good at that. I mean, we're probably one of the best in Annapolis from that standpoint. I think so there's two things that you can do, which will get you ready to deal with these hard trends, and quite frankly, protect your firm, your company, or your business. So the first one is go to one of our town halls. In our town halls, we do an extensive update of all this stuff, give you the background, talk about why we need to do it and what's important about it. And then that can lead you to be informed so that you can write to a legislator when we need you to, which isn't often, but when we do, we really do. So that would be step one. Step two is put this date on your calendar. It's January the 24th. Put that on your calendar and come down to Annapolis for a half a day. CPA Day in Annapolis. You don't even have to know who your legislators are, but we will tell you, we'll match you to them. We'll tell you the issues, and then you can go up there and be ready. Now, what happens then, so session starts around the first week of January, first or second, and goes for 90 days to about April 15th. At that stage, CPA Day gets you informed, and you meet your legislators, and we tell 188 legislators what we care about. Once the bills start coming, then we say, hey, could you write Senator Fuji Bobber and say, please vote against this bill or for this bill. So that little micro moment makes the difference between passing or killing bad pieces of legislation or passing good ones.
That's great. And they can find more information about that on our website or, yep.
Absolutely. There's a whole thing on advocacy, I think, for them to look at and then obviously come to a town hall. They're free, 4 hours of free CPE, up on all the hard trends, not just legislation and regulation. So That's what we would talk about there.
That's great. So session's over. And like you said earlier, legislation is a hard trend. This stuff never stops. So any issues that you're keeping an eye on at this point that could, I don't know, maybe give us some heartburn later on. What's on your radar screen at this point?
As if on cue. So actually, there's a whole lot of stuff going on right now, believe it or not. We're actively, so I want you to think about our legislative agenda at, let's call it, five levels. And I often use the streetscape down in Baltimore City where it shows a roadway surface elevated, and then underneath of it, you know, with the sewer pipes, and there's all these pipes running under our roads that are the infrastructure, right? There's water and sewer and cable and electric and, right, that stuff. So I actually think that's a lot like how we look at legislation, because on the surface, on the road, when everything's well, you don't notice all the stuff underneath of it. But when one of those pipes breaks and the water shoots up in the freezing winter and freezes up all the cars in the neighborhood, mm-hmm. you know something's wrong. So that's what happens when Sarbanes-Oxley or Dodd-Frank or in Maryland, some of these big bills come from, like the Maryland Healthy Working Families Act, those kind of things. So there's a break. Legislators try to fix it. They do it sometimes with good intention and oftentimes unintended consequences. So here's what I look at. So Maryland legislature is one big pipe. A bigger pipe is federal legislation. We work on that with the AICPA. Underneath, we have regulations regarding your license as a CPA. Right now, there's three things we're trying to do there. We're trying to enact firm mobility in Maryland. That's a big one. And we're now behind. There's about 26 states that have done it. And our state board has been not in favor of it in a big way. And we're working with them now to try to change that to a yes. CPE mobility, that's another one. Multi-state practice, same idea. Make it easier for our members and firms. And that's another initiative all the state societies and the Institute are trying to push. So we're going to be working on that one as well. A third one that came up as a result of listening to our students was apparently the state board was taking extra time to make students validate AP test results when they're going into approval for the exam, even if the accredited college acknowledged those credits on the transcript. So we would say, if an accredited university like University of Maryland says your AP course is okay, why would we say it's not okay and say we need absolute evidence that it's okay?
Yeah.
That just added like 6 months to the licensing timeframe.
Wow.
And then, you know, so those are three regulatory pipes underneath the state legislative pipe that we're actually working on right now. Then there's global things coming in at the standards level. We're seeing changes at the PCAOB. There are some proposals on peer review that's going and making peer review standards increase. So not to mention the normal FASB stuff like leases that's driving everyone crazy. So there you have it. All the infrastructure that's now needing repairs and fixes that we're trying to weigh in on. And thank God for all of our active members that help us do that.
Yeah. Wow. Busy time, crazy time to be continued, I'm sure. But Tom, thanks for the update. Really weird and interesting stuff happening in Annapolis this year. I'm sure we'll be continuing this conversation as time goes on, but thanks.
Awesome. Thank you, Bill.
That was Tom Hood, CEO of the Maryland Association of CPAs and the Business Learning Institute. If you want to learn more about our legislative efforts and how you can become involved, visit macpa.org/advocacy.